You got it?
Yeah.
So good. Okay. Love has been perfected among us in this. Now, this is huge. Because we always preach the scripture, as he is, so are we in the world. And I like to use it a lot of times. I'll preach it as his resurrection power, the fire in his eyes, the glory and authority of his name. And the risen Christ resurrected, as he is, so are we. Rawr! Be healed, right? But in the context of what it's written, it's not saying that at all. Watch what it's saying. The whole chapter is love. Watch. Love has been perfected. Who wants love to be perfected seriously? I mean, come on, that's a big deal. Watch. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we have boldness in the day of judgment. Watch, let me paraphrase it. Because we've become love. Because as he is, how is he? Who is he? What is he? As he is, so are we. So two have become one. He put his heart in us when we got born again. He put his nature in us, his perspective, his motives. In this, love is perfected. We have boldness in that day because there's nothing to hide. We're not self-conscious. We're Christ-conscious. And we have confidence before him because our heart doesn't condemn us. We have become who he is from the inside out. Does it mean we're perfect? No. Love covers a multitude of sin, but it means our hearts are absolutely pure. Our hearts have been perfected in purity. See, and that perfect thing, I don't even like to get on that much because people find reasons for weakness, and I want to find reasons for strength. I don't need an excuse to be less than what the gospel created me to be. I want to find a reason for it to have its way in me.
Yes.
So I'm not going to let religion sell me out. It's buy me short.
Come on.
Because people want to say, man, you're going to sin, brother. All you're doing is giving yourself permission to have a less than God day. And then you'll have no sense of repentance because that's what we are, you know. And now your identity's trash.
Matured is a good word. Love has been matured in me.
Yeah. Love has been perfected, matured among you in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we. Where are we? That way. In the world. Ooh. Because lawlessness abounds in the last days, because there's so much evil going on and defilement in men's hearts and so much stuff going on, because lawlessness abounds, the love of most will grow cold. But he that endures till the end shall be saved. That means he'll be delivered from the perils of not being loved. Doesn't mean he won't go to hell and everybody else. Well, I really don't believe that. There's people that get deceived. They take account of a suffered wrong. They go through a moment of deception. God's grace is figuring all that. They still know they need the blood. They're still not a proud man. There's deceptions on the earth. But what happens is human reasoning creeps in and lawlessness abounds and the love of most grow cold. Here's what they do. They justify their position because they've figured out what's wrong and marked it why, and then they make it feel like that makes them right. When you see why somebody's wrong, it gives you permission to be right, and we're called to righteousness. You get it?
Yeah.
So lawlessness abounds, the love of most grows cold. That's because we take account of a suffered wrong, and we become a byproduct of what's been done wrong. And it's at the cost of what? Love. But endure till the end. We love not our life unto death. Okay? There's no fear in love. But perfect love, mature love, casts out fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made complete in love. We love him because he first loved us. Where's the scripture? It says, because we love, there's no cause to stumble.
Peter?
Is that Peter? Where is that? Is that in 1 Peter? 2 Peter? Bear with me for a second here. Love. About loving one another and no cause to stumble.
Yeah.
Somebody know where that is?
Yeah,
forgive me for not knowing, helping somebody. You know, I can pull that preacher thing that says, well, it's in the Bible.
Rub it a little bit.
First John.
I thought it was in First John.
Yeah.
But I didn't read it. I didn't see it. Hallelujah. There's a reason I wanted to see it. I wanted to see something in it. The word, what it talks about is, oh, here it is. Yay. 1 John 2. Oh my gosh, this is so powerful. I'll close with this, okay? And we're going to just pray a corporate prayer. And all we can do in this corporate prayer is be sincere from our heart. And the best we understand, just sincerely yield our heart to Him and give Him that place, okay, of our life. Don't hold anything back. Grace is an amazing thing. God can come and trans. And when I was in Iowa, we had an altar call that was absolutely crazy. It was intense. People said they felt like a hot sword was going through their chest. There was people just getting wrecked from all kinds of stuff. There's people getting delivered and healed from things to where their whole countenance changed. Like lots and lots of things. I mean, there was a man that came up to me and said, my wife of 27 years left me and ran off with my pastor. And he said, because of the extreme details of the story and the natural thinking involved, the components were so bizarre and traumatic that it gave me permission to be wrecked, and all my friends accommodated my sorrow and allowed me to remain devastated and in pain because of the reality of what they did. And tonight I realized I've been feeling sorry for myself, and I haven't even considered the deception of their own soul, the state of their own spirituality. I've been nothing but sorry for me, and it's bound me in a pain that God hasn't even been able to help me with because my whole focus is me. And tonight when you were preaching, I realized for the first time since it happened that it's not about me at all. My God, have mercy on them. And I have the capacity to forgive them and release them. And I'm telling you, sir, he started laughing with tears in his eyes. I can't even explain it. The pain's not even there. Because human reasoning and the way that seems right to man gives you permission to be less than what the gospel has made you. And it's in your eye. And most Christians would wrap their arm around him and say, I can't believe she did that to you. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. And they would be so sentimental and so much pain themselves, they'd hate to see them hurting, and they just try to comfort them. And all of a sudden, all these feelings are justified and all this stuff.
We comfort deception.
It's big time. It is a self-serving thing. Watch this. Watch this. Verse 10. Because all I was preaching was love. But all of a sudden, he realized, oh my gosh. If I loved my wife, my heart would be broken for her, not me. Think with me. If I loved my wife, my heart would be... Was God's heart broken for him or for us? If it wasn't for us, he'd have never sent his son, guys. He'd have sent a lightning bolt. He wasn't hurt for him, he was hurt for us. That's what love does. So this guy realized, oh my gosh. So the traumatic story, the soap opera sounding story, yeah, my wife left. It wasn't just with another man. It was with my pastor. And the thought of that and the reaction, oh my God, you're kidding. Justified all this pain. And he realized in the congregation while I was preaching, he's up front, because I shared analogy after analogy of what love is and what love isn't. Guess what God said prophetically? He said, now that you see what love is, it's your choice, children. Tonight you're left with two decisions. Either take my heart and embrace my heart and let me become who you are on the inside. Or you're saying, I want your promises for me. I want eternal life. I want the blessings and I want your kingdom. For however it processes me, but I don't want your heart. That's heavy. And it was more impacting even than that. There was more stuff prophetic that came out. God was telling us why he sent his son and why he redeemed us. and it was to confound the wisdom of the wise. It was to make manifest the manifold wisdom of God to the powers of darkness by taking men that had become totally selfish through sin and converting them back to original value by the power of God.
Yay.
Here's the ending scripture. Verse 10 of 1 John 2. This is amazing. Well, let me read verse 9. He who says he's in the light and hates his brother, he's in darkness even now. He who loves his brother abides in the light. Watch. And there is no cause for offense in his heart. It's right in your Bible. It's not my sermon. Now that's the word of God. That's the standard of the kingdom. So if I love my brother, there's no cause for offense in my heart. That doesn't mean we don't correct and admonish one another at times. It doesn't mean we never have to sit down and iron through something. But when I take something personal, if Ryan and I have a relationship and all of a sudden there's something we don't agree with about each other and I can't even talk about it because I'm angry with him, or I don't even want to talk about it because he's this, that, and the other, or he doesn't want to talk to me because we're way deceived. Because it's not about us and how we feel. It's about the kingdom and righteousness and the world around us. Okay? We're going to pray now. I told you that was the last scripture. But if I promise I won't preach and I just read this, will you let me read one little thing and we'll pray? I won't preach. I won't. No, I won't. I mean it. I'm just going to read this. 9 o'clock. We're kind of on time here, huh? Verse 12 of Philippians 2, okay? I'm just going to read this. Please listen, and then we're going to pray. The reason I'm supposed to read this is because you have the right to yield your heart to this truth. You get it? And God's saying, will you yield your heart to this truth? It's your privilege.
Yay.
Therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with a reverence toward God. For it's God who's working in you both to will and do for his good pleasure. So do all things without complaining or disputing.
Oh.
That means grumbling or arguing. Why? That you may become blameless, innocent children without fault in the midst of a twisted society, and among them you'll shine as a light, holding forth the word of life. Philippians 2, 12 through 16. Do you hear why you're saved? You're not saved to go to heaven. You're saved to become love and manifest the light to a world that doesn't have a clue. To live in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation and shine his light without grumbling and complaining, so when they look at your life, they can't mark you and judge you. There's innocence. Even if they persecute you unjustly, in their heart they know there's nothing to blame. Come on. We're in the world. We're not the world. Don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you love the world and the things in the world, the love of the Father isn't in you.
Whoa.
So, Father, we yield to you right now. We just surrender to love, Daddy God. And, Father, we just ask him for grace. I'm asking for grace in this message that this wouldn't be a lecture. This isn't just, you know, hey, guys, come on. But, Father, I see this, and I'm asking you to let grace open this door in every heart. I see this as the most incredible privilege of understanding, to yield to kneel to bow before you in our private life, in our secret place, while we're driving our car all alone, while we're at work all alone, just wherever we are, when it's just you and me, where this is our heart, God, where we're not just saved for our sake, but your name's sake. And that we realize we've been so honored by you that you would send your son and make it possible for who you are to live in who we are. So that when men see us, they see who you are. So, Father, we yield to love. We ask your grace to come in the issues that we've held ourselves captive in and built things we've built walls around and defended and protected. Even that analogy with that family, being cautious and defensive and protective, lest we be hurt. God forbid. Let healing come to the heart of every soul, every emotion, and every mindset in this room. And Lord God, let us see the power of just surrendering and submitting and yielding to the work of your Holy Spirit and saying yes to every yes of God. So here we are, Lord. Teach us love like you taught the Thessalonians and let us abound in it more and more. And Holy Spirit, in any expression less than truth, we ask you to bring it to the light so that you can mold us and change us for your glory. Correct us, father us. Come on, be a daddy. We welcome you and we listen to your voice. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Just good convictions in that. It's powerful to preach it. There's a knowing. We come to know first, and then we what? Believe. So I'm inviting you all into a secret place. Respond. Everyone knows where their life, their heart is. You get alone with God, and all of a sudden, you know, he just makes sense of things, and he irons things out. I had so many people last week come to me that have been, they're in ministry, they're on altar teams, and yet their life's been bankrupt with love. And they've got accounts of suffered wrongs. Because they can make an account of it, it makes it right in their mind at the cost of their heart. And I saw so many tears last week. And I felt like the Lord's been building this mandated message in his people because we're saved to become loved. Amen? That's why we can pray for the sick, because he loves us. We're going to drink of the blood, right? Be forgiven. We're going to eat of the flesh and be healed. He gave them both, guys. He removes sin through the blood and the effects of sin through the punishment in his flesh. He was beaten first. Before he was made to be sin, he suffered more than you can imagine. And then God put the sin of humanity on him. And he said, why hast thou forsaken me? And he was separated from the Father, and God cursed sin in the flesh. We shared the other week, he beat him first so he could pay as a man the price that sin cost. Because if he'd have became sin first, he couldn't have paid the price, he'd have died. He couldn't die when they were beating him because he never sinned. Death only has right to sin. Adam sinned and death entered the world and all sinned. All die because all sinned. Jesus never sinned. He couldn't die. That's how he endured the pain. I always thought God supernaturally sustained him for years. No, it's a spiritual legal principle. Death had no right to him because he was innocent blood. And they beat him to a pulp beyond description, and his body was still alive because death had no claim. Why did they beat him first? Because his body wouldn't have been able to humanly stand if he became sin immediately.
So you're saying, you know, the wages of sin is death. And he had no sin.
So he couldn't die.
So he couldn't die, yeah.
Until he was made to be sin, he couldn't die. As soon as he was made to be sin, there was a separation from him and the Father. He said, why hast thou forsaken me? And he said, into thy hands I commit thy spirit. And then he yielded himself to the power of death. Because he was made to be sin. He became sin by choice. So he laid down his life. Nobody could kill him because before God, according to spiritual law, death had no claim on him. He couldn't die. Remember Adam? The day you eat the trees, the day you surely... Adam wasn't able to physically die until he sinned. He was created to never die. Jesus was the last Adam. Second Adam, last Adam. Jesus couldn't die till he was made to be sin. He was like Adam in the garden. When he was made to be the eating of the tree, death could claim him, but couldn't hold him because he was innocent. By the spirit of holiness, he rose on the third day, and God master planned and blindsided the enemy and set us free from the powers of darkness, death, hell, and the grave. So if Satan never knew what he was doing, he wouldn't have done it, but he did. So his only power is to deceive us, blind us, and bind us from the truth. And get us to stay selfish and inward and try to embrace the gospel for us instead of him. Simple, isn't it? So we say we live for Jesus with all our heart. What's your name again?
I'm Alan.
Okay. It's Tim.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to pray for Tim. He was diagnosed with cancer in his larynx. They said some down into his lungs. He came here for prayer tonight. He believes God's a healer and God can heal him. You're in a like faith atmosphere, I promise you. And it's not the aggression of our prayer. It's the belief of our heart in his goodness and faithfulness and finished work of Christ. It's the prayer of faith that saves the sick, not the passion of your heart, not the language of your speech, what you believe about his love for the finished work. The prayer of faith saves the sick. The power of what you believe is phenomenal. These signs follow those that believe, not those that sincerely pray in the time of need, those that believe the gospel. You get it? You like want to go get him, don't you? He's sitting there jumping. Can we just pray for somebody, dude? Come on. Anybody else came and you need prayer in this room, physically, or anything? Do us a favor. This is what we do here because we're the church. We're the body of Christ. And I encourage people to pray for one another, okay?
Is there anybody here with like any like neck/shoulder pain and also headaches? Come up here, okay? Because
God wants you feeling that anything right now in your neck going down into your shoulders? Sometimes you perceive, you get words of knowledge from this stuff, and God will just heal it.
Any headaches?
Getting headaches. They're coming. Messing up your day, coming. You got one now. Is there anybody who has one now? Right now. You do? Kind of. I see, like, you guys get to pray for her then. Anybody getting headaches on a regular basis where you're like waking up saying, I hope I don't have a headache when I get up because you've been having them or they've been wrecking your days? Anybody going through some kind of thing like that where your head's been hurting you? Anybody? Okay. If you need prayer, I need you to stand up and just raise your hand so we can, when we all stand up, so we don't forget or lose sight of who you are, okay? Just stand up for a minute and lift your hand up so we see you. And as we're moving, don't put your hand down until somebody gets to you, okay? Yeah. Here's what I want you to do, church. Get around and love one another, okay? Let's pray the prayer of faith over each other. And let's give each other Jesus. Okay?
Will anybody pray for diabetes?
Gladly pray about diabetes.
Oh,
we've seen a lot of people. I actually saw somebody in Iowa, all the symptoms of diabetes left. Blood sugar and stuff regulated.
Oh, very good. I'm glad the boss is back.
The boss is back. Boss, you're messed up, man. I'm going to pray for you.
You're the boss.
Let's get around. Pray for each other. Who needs prayer that hasn't had anybody with them right now? Raise your hand high. Okay, good. Tammy, you're on it.
Diabetes, yeah.